Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
Just wanted to tell Ty, I appreciate how much you know about the Razorbacks. I mean, you're very knowledgeable for as young as you are.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorbacks.
Got my keg in the freezer. We're ready to get this thing rolling and go home, baby.
You know, we had a short turnaround, too, and it was an emotional loss. We went to Stillwater believing in ourselves and thinking we could get a win, and they had a great crowd, and, you know, we have a possession where we could win the game. And then to bounce back, play on a Tuesday instead of a Wednesday after a Saturday tough road game, and we bust back. And I thought the guys had great preparation, and were yesterday on a Sunday is normally an off day, and they came back and battled through some stuff, and then Moses twists his ankle, and just really impressed with our preparation on Sunday and Monday.
Tell you what, it didn't look great off the bat last night, but Arkansas got it done, and by getting it done, went on a couple big-time runs in the first and second half. Arkansas basketball is going to be a huge topic of discussion today on a What's Your Beef Wednesday. I want to talk about what this Arkansas football program is in tears right now. David Hale of ESPN wrote an interesting piece talking about where you are as a football program. We'll get into that. Hey, I don't know if you remembered, but it's National Signing Day today. I know that doesn't seem relevant to Arkansas fans at all, considering they locked up their class during early national signing period, but some schools are still waiting on that last blue chip recruit to be signed. That's something we'll get into, how that's changed over the years. Big news. We are hosting the big game on ESPN 95.3 and ESPN 104.3. Can we say the actual acronym?
I think we're authorized.
Are we authorized to say
the big S word?
The big S. We are hosting the Super Bowl on ESPN 95.3 and ESPN 104.3.
What you're saying is we're airing the game.
We are airing the game. Yes. So really,
we're not cooking wings and having buffalo chicken dip down here, but we will have the game on the air.
Not just yet. So we'll be doing it on again. ESPN 95.3 Fort Smith River Valley. ESPN 104.3 Harrison, Marshall, and Mountain Home. So really excited about that. It is going to be awesome. Pre-game coverage starts at 4. Kevin Harlan and Hall of Famer Kurt Warner will be on the call for that. Now, NCAA football looks like it's making a return. I want to talk about your favorite video game of all time coming up here later in the program. Where do you want to go?
Oh, basketball.
Basketball?
Yeah, I mean, as much as I'd love to spend 10 minutes talking about National Signing Day, let's talk about this basketball game from last night that I don't know how you could imagine, draw up, describe the first 10 minutes any worse. I don't know if you were planning a basketball game offensively in particular, and I think defense is what turned this game around. We'll get to that in a minute. Ty, you start out 1 of 17 from the floor, and you fall behind 16-4, 18-5, before your team ends up going on a, 56-27 run, essentially, to close the last 30 minutes of the ball game. It looked like, as we heard from Coach there in the cold open, that this was a team that's a bit sluggish, seemed a bit tired on the short turnaround. We find out about Moses Moody and his ankle, not being quite there. And finally, they put some defensive stops together that sparked a great offensive run and got the job done. If you're Mississippi State right now this morning, if you're a Bulldog fan, how do you feel? You led 18-5 out of the gate, and you lose the basketball game, and it's not close at the end. This was good for Arkansas. I think to have the struggle to use defense to create offense and win this basketball game convincingly.
It really was sparked by a 23-2 run in that first half. And legitimately, I was thinking about watching Saved by the Bell reruns because of where the game was. And I'm thinking to myself, this is what I'm having to partake in right now. And luckily, like so many of you listening on air, you stayed with it, and you were rewarded with that because Arkansas ended up getting a 61-45 victory. But to your point about injuries, think about this. You've already lost K.K. Robinson out for the season. Then Jalen Williams is still dealing with the deep bone bruise. Musselman talked about how he really gutted it out. Oh, by the way, Moses Moody twisted his ankle earlier this week, which we didn't know about. He didn't even know if he was going to go tonight. He goes for 38 minutes and has a solid, productive game. You have Justin Smith messing up his ankle at half. He ends up coming back. And then
Desi Sills hit the floor hard. He left for a while with a shoulder or whatever.
He didn't play the rest of the game, did he?
I don't remember him. Let's see. For the game, Desi Sills had 4 minutes. No. Yeah,
so after that, he did not. I just wanted to make sure before I said an inaccurate statement. So you're dealing with guys that are not fully healthy. You're already two men down with KK and Desi not being able to play. And yet they were just still able to mount a comeback. And not just mount a comeback, mount a ferocious, roaring comeback in the manner in which they did. And they didn't do it just on offense, but it's really the defense that got after them.
26 Mississippi State turnovers. Now, not all of those were forced. You know, there was a lot of travels early in this ball game. Neither team was playing fundamentally at the point they need to or wanted to. But Mississippi State had 26 turnovers. Arkansas better, but not a lot better. 17 turnovers in the ball game, but the difference is it was pointed out throughout the game. If you're watching, they kept putting the graphic up. Points off turnovers. That's the difference in the ball game. Arkansas scored 25 points off of State's 26 turnovers. Mississippi State only mustered 4 points that they converted off of Arkansas's 17. Now, many of those were things like travels, ball thrown out of bounds, things where you get your defense set back up.
Dead ball.
Dead ball turnovers. Seems that the first 10 minutes, I bet there was 5 or 6 walks between the two teams, travels that were called. Big guys in particularly in the paint moving their pivot foot trying to get around defenders. I saw that on 2 or 3 occasions. But that's the difference in this ball game is Arkansas converted points off turnovers. Mississippi State did not.
The 26 turnovers you referenced were the most forced by any Southeastern Conference team this season. So that shows what Arkansas was able to do, not only hounding Mississippi State into many of those, but then making their own mistakes. On top of that, you think about this past game against Oklahoma State, you forced 15 in the first half. So when Arkansas gets out and plays defense, they have the ability to really create a lot of problems in half court defense with their length. And I saw, and you just saw a team, especially the pivotal point of the game. It's been several pivotal points this season is when they got the ball out of DJ Stewart's and Iverson Molinari, if I'm saying his name, Molinari's hand by just running that double team. And Mississippi State, whether it was a ball screen, whether it was trying to get the ball out of them, they just had no answer for Eric Musselman and his staff's defensive game plan, double teaming the 2 17-point-per-game scorers, and they just had no ability to counteract that. That changed the basketball game last night. Props to Eric Musselman for using that again, and it keeps on working. So when you got to have a guy gets hot, expect to continue to see that at points this season.
Well, when you start out 1 for 17 shooting, they ended up for the half, 10 of 31. What's the math on that? The last 14 shots, they made 9. This was a matter of just sticking with it. I said something on Twitter and it was kind of sarcastic, but it was real and the same. You almost can't statistically shoot this bad. 1 of 17. It's almost impossible to be that bad. It had to turn around because you can't be any worse than 1 of 17.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point the ball has to start going in. And when it did, it did. And that last 7 or 8 minutes, particularly of the first half, saved this ball game. Arkansas ran away with it in the second half, but if you don't get on that run, who knows how the mental approach of this team would have been for the last 20 or 25 minutes or so.
I want to tell you about the new Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzers. They come in spicy pineapple, cucumber lime, and peach pear. They're light and refreshing and are made with zero sugar. The new Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzers.
Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown!
A little cold to be out over the grill this weekend.
Yeah, a little cold to be playing a stinking football game at 1 o'clock too.
I don't know. You know, I don't know if you asked me to referee this football game. I don't know that my contract with you included 25-degree temperatures.
I'm starting to. I mean, there's going to be,
y'all should have a league rule that says, all right, if the wind chill's below 40, we're not playing.
Yeah, we can't play. And I'm going to be the only
safety issue.
I'm going to be the
player
only
player safety
one that'll probably be sober for that game since I have to have work the next day. You know, and I wonder about this.
Still telling that lie, SmackDown.
Legitimately, it's Sunday. I don't drink on Sunday.
He's still telling that lie.
That was also said that he was going to eat healthy too.
So. I've been eating healthy all year. Yeah. I wonder because I have several Morning Rush listeners that I've talked to that have taken off Monday. Just this Monday because of the Super Bowl. I wonder how rampant that is, if that's actually a
thing. I don't know. I mean, we've never had the luxury because we've got to be in here and talk about it. But I want to be in here and talk about what happened. But I have long been a proponent and have long stood on the stump for the idea of Super Bowl Saturday.
Me too.
And everybody, you know, when Ruskin sat in that chair, he looked at me cockeyed. And neighbors didn't go along with me. Nobody has agreed and goes along with this because, well, the marketing of Super Bowl Sunday, blah, blah, blah. I get it. I understand. And then, you know, college basketball would interrupt some other things. So be it. College basketball can play on Sunday that week.
I'd rather have it on Sunday. I'll agree with you 100%.
Super Bowl Saturday would be a much better deal, I think, for most Americans. Now, a lot of people are working, they're in retail, but I think the country would just, the Super Bowl is such a large event, stores and, you know, non-food retail would close because, you know, by 5 o'clock that day in most places.
I would very much be okay with that, very much so.
But we're selfish. That's what we want because I want a day of recovery before we have to come in here the next morning to talk about
food coma. And speaking
of that, move the game up an hour or two. One or the other. The 5 o'clock start, I get it. You know, that's what the TV networks need. They need all the ads all day because the pregame, you know, has to start at 7 a.m. so they can make all the money. But let's get this baby over with, you know.
Speaking of the Super Bowl, we'll take Danny and Russellville's call in just one sec. But we do have some big news, and it's really breaking news this morning. The fact that as of this earlier this week, we're going to broadcast the Super Bowl on Sunday on ESPN 95.3 and ESPN 104.3.
Same stations we had the Chiefs on.
Mm-hmm. The coverage will begin at 4 o'clock. Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, Hall of Fame quarterback, will be the play-by-play and analyst for the game. I'm really excited because we haven't had this since I've been working.
Yeah, here. We had it a few years ago, and now we're back to it in our, you know, association with carrying the Chiefs opened up the door and opportunity. We'll have a few other things.
Final four.
We'll have some golf related items around the majors. So there'll be some other things that we'll be doing as a part of this partnership.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really excited to listen to the broadcast. And Tommy and I were talking about this before the show. Let's say you're going from one place to another, and you want to keep up with the game or keep up with the halftime stuff. Tune it to ESPN 95.3 Fort Smith River Valley or 104.3 Harrison Mountain Home on that day. I'm really excited. There's no day off when it comes to the Super Bowl, and we are got your all your coverage here on ESPN 95.3 104.3 starting at 4 o'clock on Sunday.
Yep, should be fun. So, and there's no excuses not to know what's going on.
Nope, exactly right. Let's welcome in Danny in Russellville this morning. If you want to call or text in at any point, y'all feel free to at 877-377-6963. Danny, what's up, man?
Hey, brother. Every day is Saturday for me except Sunday, so I'm off Monday. But that's what I get for being older.
We haven't arrived at that point in life yet, Danny. So.
Yeah, well, you get there, brother. You'll get there. Okay, so Tennessee scores 90 mid-90s against Kansas and 60 against Ole Miss. I don't understand what's going on with this season. I've seen more ugly games this year than I believe I've ever seen, including the one with the Hogs last night.
Oh, yeah.
We've had, what, 3 or 4 games this year where we score 5 points first 10 minutes or 12. I think with eight something left last night, we had 5 points. I'm telling you, this is some of the ugliest bad shooting games I believe I've ever seen. But to the Hogs' credit, they got aggressive on defense, and I think
that's where it started.
That's our new identity. I think we're becoming a scrappy, tough team. You know, I don't know when it happened, but
it happened when you hired Eric Musselman because that's what he demands. He demands rebounding. He demands you defend the 3-point line. You really think about what Eric Musselman's about. Well, it's about defense with him. It's about defending the 3-point line. And then he told us something on Twitter last night. They made such an emphasis of defensive rebounding. They were putting notes all over the locker room that said defensive rebounding, putting the same notes on players' cars. They were driving home the point for the game last night about defensive rebounding. So,
well, they took the fight out of Mississippi State last night. Mississippi State scored in the 90s against Iowa State Saturday, and they 45 points last night?
Yeah, 61-45. Now, I will say, and Danny, we appreciate the call, Iowa State is terrible. I think they're like 2-10, 2-11 now on the season, so I take that with a grain of salt. But it is impressive that he only had one rebound last night. And Musk talked about in the post game the fact that the guards for Arkansas were helping double-team box out with Vanover, Williams, Vance Jackson, Justin Smith, and whoever else was helping. When anytime your guards rebound, I think Moses had, what, 6 rebounds? You had some guys.
Had 7.
Yeah, he had the guys that are sticking their nose in there. For guards, you'd love to see that.
Yeah.
So you get now 3 straight conference wins. Y'all, I know that you lost to Oklahoma State in heartbreaking fashion, but now you move on to Saturday, where Texas A&M, you hopefully get to host in Bud Walton Arena. Well, hold up just a sec. They had their game postponed last night due to COVID issues within the Texas A&M program. Now, you want to be able to play the Aggies. Here's the way I look at it. I think Texas A&M is probably going to be a win. I think you can pencil that in. I know Muss and them are not going to do that, but I think as a radio host, I can go and pencil that in based on Texas A&M's track record to this point this season.
They're second from the bottom in the SEC standings.
That being said, if you don't get this game on Saturday, you do, Tommy, get a week to prepare for Kentucky. So if you want to pull a positive out of that, I would say that's one, but you'd still rather play the Texas A&M game.
Basketball is a sport of routine and rhythm. You get in the rhythm of playing Tuesday or Wednesday, Saturday. And the Tuesday games, I think, are tough, as we saw this week, for the quick turnaround, particularly if you play an afternoon or a later game. And then this past Saturday, as Musk was telling everybody, you know, you bus back because it's close enough that you weren't going to charter a plane to Stillwater. So, you know, this was a quick physical turnaround for this team. But you get into the rhythm of playing, and then when you don't have a game and you have that bye or you have an opening because of COVID this year, I think it just messes up your routine and your rhythm. So I'm with you. Absolutely, you want to play A&M. It's a game you cannot afford to lose, not from a record standpoint, but from a net rankings and all the metrics, where they're at in the standings versus where you're now at in the standings. This is a game you need just to pick up another SEC win and not let your resume slip away a little bit.
An Arkansas basketball note for you this morning. Yesterday, David Patrick was named as an assistant to the Australian men's national basketball team staff. And you say, well, Ty, why is that big of a deal? Well, if you think about it, the ties that he's had in Australia, whether it's Ben Simmons, and is it Akoma Ween, the guy that the Australian guy?
I don't know.
That they
can you spell
in?
That for me? I think I know how to spell.
A-K-O-L.
I was kidding, actually.
But I wonder how much this is going to help, and depending on how long he's at Arkansas, just the international recruiting that Arkansas could seemingly get. Yeah. I would think that would be
anytime one of your coaches, head coach, assistant, or otherwise, is invited to be a part of international competition and the Olympics, that's quite an honor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you are, what job you're doing, in whatever sport it is. If you're on an Olympic team as a coach or player, that's a big deal. So for David Patrick to be a part of that Australian national team is a big deal. Tells you the quality of assistant coach that Musk has on his staff. And hey, he'll be in and around that team and that program. The games are in Tokyo, right?
Believe that's correct.
That's where the 2020 games were scheduled. So, I mean, I don't know what kind of recruiting edge or anything like else this gives you, but I'm sure he'll be spending time in Australia, and, you know, maybe there's a player or two you can get your eye on early. I don't know. I just know it's an honor when you have a coach that any time in your profession, you know, if we were selected to do Olympics coverage from Tokyo, that'd be an honor. That'd be an opportunity to be hard to turn down.
Us and Bob Costas.
Right.
I know he's no longer with
NBC. I'm sure that NBC is just trying to make the decision on whether they bring one or both of us to the Olympics.
That right? They are. Another Arkansas basketball tidbit for you this morning. Chelsea Dungy named SEC
All the hibachi you can eat.
Yeah. So. Named SEC co-player of the week. She averaged 27 points, shot 51% this past week. They beat UConn on Thursday, and then they beat Auburn on Sunday. So Chelsea Dungy once again gets an honor. She's been quite impressive so far this season.
You know, and the thing I've enjoyed is, you know, if I've scrolled through Twitter, Facebook, these things the last few days, I've seen probably half a dozen pictures of her with girls that are my daughter's age, you know, 7, 8, my daughter's 9. I think it's really cool that she's taken the time and made sure that she's had some influence on younger kids. It's about marketing of yourself, marketing that program. And I think that's another cool element of all this is she's getting her props because of her performance. But, you know, she's also taking the time to do things like that that may not matter to her in that moment, may not matter to a lot of us, you know, about taking a picture. I guarantee you them 8, 9-year-old girls will cherish that memory. Mm-hmm. So that's been pretty cool, too.
One NFL headline before we get into this video game conversation. Deshaun Watson will not play for the Houston Texans ever again, according to Chris Sims of Pro Football Talk. And I've seen various reports, whether it's John McClain, different sports radio hosts in Houston, now Sims, when it comes to where he's going to end up. We're going to get a chance to talk with Alan Hahn of Barton Hahn about this coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. I'm really, really curious to see where Deshaun Watson ends up. I don't have any personal connection, any inside story. I'm just giving you my best guess that he's not going to be playing for the Houston Texans. Some have speculated that he would sit out this next season in order play next season or to play somewhere else.
Sit a whole year? That'd be expensive, wouldn't it?
I don't know. He's the second highest paid quarterback in the National Football League behind Patrick Mahomes. I don't remember. It's 40-something million, if I remember that correctly. So that's a lot of money you're leaving on the table.
That's a whole lot of money. I cannot see in the end. That's got to be words, not deeds or actions. I cannot imagine at that age, knowing how precious these years are, unless you're Tom Brady and you play for 20 years, I can't imagine being willing to sit out a year and lose a season like that when there's no injury involved.
Well, Le'Veon Bell's done it. And there have been some other players that have done it. I'm wondering if Deshaun Watson will actually stick to this reported
guns. I mean, the list of
guns.
Quarterbacks that have done it. Yeah, you know, that's the thing.
We
have $40 million. Good quarterbacks, great quarterbacks. Not many of those that ever do it. All right, those are your quick hitting headlines. Brought to you this morning by Razorback Camper Sales. Spring camping is just around the corner, and the folks at Razorback Camper Sales are ready for you. Not only do they have a huge selection of travel trailers, fifth wheels, and pop ups, but Razorback Camper Sales also offers full prep and setup at no extra cost, so you can leave and start camping immediately. And you'll have access to the best parts and service department in the state. Razorback Camper Sales is the oldest family-owned RV dealer in Arkansas. They've been around for more than 50 years. Don't forget, it's show season, so go see them at the Arkansas RV Show in Little Rock. That's February 12th through the 14th, and the Boat and RV Show in Hot Springs, February 26th through the 28th. Razorback Camper Sales, Exit 1 off of the bypass in Hot Springs.
During SEC Media Days in 2020, we got a chance to sit down with Brad Nessler, and we had NCAA football with us at the time. And so EA Sports is bringing back, it's not going to be called NCAA football, it's going to be called EA Sports College Football. It's going to be released in a couple of years, is what they said. It's, you know, you remember when The Last Dance, the first trailer came out, mm-hmm. and it was still like 2 years off.
And it would have been, if it hadn't been for pandemic and COVID, we would have waited even longer.
The tease, like the blue balls of that is just, it's stuck. It's sick. It's so
one
bad.
One way of describing
and
it, I guess.
It is so bad. And so I'm really excited about this. It's not going to resemble the current rosters. You're just kind of waiting on that. But as I saw this news break yesterday, I thought to myself, what is the best video game of all time? We've got a bunch of texts in here this morning already, and you can hop in here at 877-377-6969. 6-3. Rick from Rogers says the Red Redemption Series. Now, I have not played that before, but I have several friends that have. For my dad's money in video games, arcade games, I'm going to lump all these together. He is a Pong guy. Love Pong growing up, as simple as that game is. And Galaga.
Love Galaga. Okay, so I grew up as an Atari, moved into a Nintendo
phase.
Kid.
Okay.
I mean, all of those are like relics to my kids. Now, they don't even know what they are. If I said, hey, if I had it, and I don't, I wish I did, pulled out an old Atari from a box in the garage, they look at that thing. It had the nice hardwood or veneer or whatever on it, and we played Frogger. We played Pong.
Frogger was fan. I love Frogger.
Pac-Man before we knew what Mrs. Pac-Man even was. That might be the greatest games, though, is Pac-Man and Mrs. Pac-Man, because look how long they've lasted. Frogger was another one. You get yourself all the way over there, and then that card run by and gets you.
Alan and Alma sends in some great ones this morning. Asteroids. Remember playing Asteroids? Yeah. Space Invaders. It's another good one. Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong was a good one. All of these were Nintendo was the first one that came out. They really had the animated games, and you had Super Mario Brothers. I love Legends of Zelda on that. And the Mike Tyson boxing game was phenomenal.
Duck Hunt is one.
Duck Hunt, yeah, that was because you got the pistol that came with the Nintendo, and that was when we had wired controllers. My kids don't even know what wired controllers are anymore.
I love.
Why I spend $1 million on batteries?
The Nintendo 64. We still have one in our house. Still love to break it out every once in a while.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Reggie and Lavaca. He has kind of an old school game, the Super Tecmo Bowl on the Nintendo Center. Do you ever play Tecmo Bowl?
I remember
back
that
in the day.
Betty here at the office got me one of them Tecmo Bowl old school football games, handheld deal, back from the 70s and 80s. So,
JB and Greenwood also agrees Duck Hunt. Now, have you played Duck Hunt?
It's
a really simple
you
game.
That gun you'd miss and you'd swear the gun. There's something wrong with the gun. The whole thing's rigged. It's rigged.
Oh, man. Tyler and Greenwood, this was one of my favorite games growing up. Crash Bandicoot. Now, this is a little after you.
Yeah.
Your kids would probably know what this is. This is early 2000s, late 90s, I believe. A really fun game. It's kind of very similar to...
I don't think they'd know that one.
You don't think they'd know that one?
No. I've heard of most of the ones they play, but...
What about Super Mario and NBA Tournament Edition on Super Nintendo? That's what Drew and Fayetteville texted in. Did you ever play any Mario games back in the day?
Played, Mario Brothers, but then what's the one where the, Mario Kart, that was the other one.
Mario Kart is so fun. It's so fun. You brought up the...
Bowser. Always wanted to be Bowser.
Yeah. The fire-breathing dragon.
Yes.
What is he? Is he a dragon?
I don't know, but that was
just a thing.
That's a game that I've enjoyed at times playing with my kids when we'll break out the old school stuff and play some of the vintage games, as they call it.
You brought up the Atari earlier, the Atari 2600 and Pitfall. Did you ever play Pitfall back in the day?
If I did, I don't remember it.
I'm unfamiliar with that. Austin is a big fan of any 2K basketball game today. I like playing 2K, playing some of the old teams. Like, you can play with Jerry West, Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell. They have all these old teams that you can play with. That's why I really enjoyed playing 2K back in the day. This is a really good one. This comes from the 479. Did you ever play Sonic on the Sega back in the day?
I never had a Sega.
You didn't have a Sega?
Nope.
Okay. That's one kind of in your wheelhouse. On the Sega Genesis, unbelievable game.
We went from Atari and a original Nintendo and kind of outgrew games. And then the next gaming system I remember having was probably 15 years ago when we got a Wii. And we got that just for the fun of, being able to bowl in your living room. And the main reason I got it, I wanted to play Augusta National in the Tiger Woods deal. And because I figured that's as close as I was ever going to get to playing Augusta. So,
let's welcome in Rod on I-40, The Conversation, his favorite video game. Rod, go ahead, man.
Yeah, I kind of graduated to World War II, Medal of Honor, PS4 Pro. I mean, I love to go to, new, strange, exotic places and meet new, exotic people and kill them. But, I started out with a friggin' Atari in the 74. You hook
exactly
it up to your
right.
TV set.
Yeah.
And, Pong. That's like watching paint drop at a faster rate. You know, that's about it.
I don't know, man. I played with my dad. I really enjoyed it, even though it's simple. It's fun to compete, and when that ball gets faster and faster, I had a great time.
Yeah. That's why that's why Rod and I were probably Frogger guys when we
Frogger's
were trying,
fun too,
we trying to get across the road there and not get get
run over. Yeah,
get run over.
Yeah, you don't even get run over, man. That makes your whole day suck.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of good games back then. I mean, I remember my original PS1, and then I had a GameCube for a while. But they're so far beyond that now. It looks so real now that when you're in combat. My wife walked in one night and dropped her teeth, and she says, "That's blood." I said, "That's blood." the old games were all right in their day. Donkey Kong, you know, stuff like that. And I love Galaga, things like that. The asteroids, they call it hemorrhoids. It's what they look like, you know, get blown up with the little ship.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
It's a whole new world now. It looks really real, but especially in 4K, but.
Yeah,
that's all I got to say about that, I guess.
Rod, appreciate the call. The graphics that you mentioned have definitely changed. There's no doubt about
TVs.
It.
I mean, when Rod and I were, you know, playing as kids, you had a tube-type TV, and you were lucky if it was color to play these things on. So, I mean, the TVs have gotten so much better, the game's gotten better.
We've got a bunch of text on this. We'll come back to this conversation.
We talked about the basketball game for 20 minutes, got 4 texts. Talk about video games for 2 minutes, we get 40 texts.
Try the new Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade. The taste of sweet lemonade meets the refreshment of a hard seltzer. Original black cherry, strawberry, and peach lemonade. The new Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade.
They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
Welcome into hour number 3 of the Morning Rush. Want to go to the phone lines and welcome in Alan Hahn, part of Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Alan, I know that we're all gearing up for the Super Bowl this week, but I kind of want to start with you guys moving from a New York-centered show to a national-based show. And I know you've done print. I know you've done a lot of different things in sports media. For you and Bart, as of late, what is that obstacle and obstacles really been like from going just from a New York-centered show to a national branding show?
It's a great question because that was kind of what we were faced with when the news came out. It was, oh, well, you guys are a New York show. How are you going to be a national show? And we both kind of laughed about it. I mean, I'm a New Yorker. I was born in New York. Bart is more of a transplant. He's a Detroit guy. And then he played in Baltimore. He's played in New York. So he's kind of been around. But I've traveled so much, like my roots are here, but I've been all over the country that it's like I'm comfortable that way. And we, for a year together, we did our show together. And we would say to each other, like, we really do a national show. We talk about pretty much everything, whatever the biggest headlines are. That's what we end up doing. We don't spend a lot of time talking about who should be the third, you know, in the Mets rotation, who should be the third pitcher or, you know, the backup point guard of the Knicks. You know, like we don't spend too much time on that stuff. But so for us, it was more of a comfortable transition that we felt like, you know, give us time and we'll show you. We really do spend time talking about just about everything. And it's been great because we get calls from all over the country, and that's been the most fun, just being able to connect now with a larger audience.
I do all that and ask you my first question, real question on sports and Jets question. Now, as weird as it is being here in Arkansas, Alan, my brother is a diehard New York Jets fan. He's always been that way. We got a chance to see a game when we were 6 and 7 years old, and it was incredible. Just an NFL atmosphere to take in as a young kid is awesome. And he's gone through some years. This is not the years when Bart was on the team and they actually got to the AFC Championship 2 consecutive years. They have gone through some trash years. And the big question right now, and I know you guys just got a chance to talk with Jets head coach Robert Saleh, what's the deal with Deshaun Watson? So you have a better sense having your ear to the ground in New York, getting a chance to talk to Coach Saleh. In your best estimation, Alan, do they make a move for Deshaun Watson?
I think if Deshaun Watson becomes available, and that is going to be for Houston to have to get to that point. And I think before you get to April, they're going to have that, you know, that moment. They're going to have that, you know, realization that if we're going to do it, we got to do it now before the draft, because that's where you get your best assets in the trade. And if that's the case, if I'm Joe Douglas. I'm on the phone. I don't hang up. I spam call. I do whatever it takes. I wait outside the facility in Houston, just, you know, holding up a stereo like in the movie Say Anything. Like, whatever it takes.
Great reference, by the way.
Just to get, I mean, whatever it takes. You know, just to get them to talk to me first, because your feeling is, if you're the Jets, no one can offer you more than we can. The number two overall pick allows you to not only say, well, if we take Sam, we don't love Sam Darnold, we can also take a quarterback at two if we want and have those two guys to choose from. Because when you move on from a Deshaun Watson, just look at all the places that have had franchise quarterbacks and then they have moved on. There's been a lot of losing. I mean, Buffalo went a long time after Jim Kelly. They couldn't figure out who was going to be their quarterback. That's a great example right there. We know Cleveland certainly hasn't figured out, and the Jets are another team that they haven't figured out. Troy Aikman left the Cowboys, and it took them a long time. I mean, they've won, what, one, two playoff games since Troy Aikman left? So it's really hard when you lose a franchise quarterback to recover from that. And if you have the opportunity to get two young guys, one in the draft, one that's already got a few years' experience, that's a pretty good thing. And if you want to say Miami, Tua Tagovailoa's still got a lot to prove, if you ask me.
We're talking
about the three picks, so, you know, I really just feel like if you're the Jets, you have to be all in. So, yes, I do think they'll very much be involved once Texans decide it's time to move on from Watson.
We're talking with Alan on ESPN Radio here on the Morning Rush. Alan, let's talk about this Super Bowl. I think the biggest storyline right now, man, is the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line. No Schwartz, Fisher, and I'm the guy's center that I just am blanking on his head that they just lost for COVID protocol. But and Andy Reid's an offensive line guy. We know the Legion of Zoom. We know what Patrick Mahomes possesses at his prowess. But I'm concerned with Ndamukong Suh, Jason Pierre-Paul, Devin White. They had five sacks against Aaron Rodgers this past week. Is that the biggest concern for Andy Reid heading into Sunday?
Oh, it absolutely is. I can't talk about it enough. I mean, and I this is Kilgore, by the way, is the center.
That's it. I could not forget
earlier today. Yeah, I feel that could be three pieces out of your, you know, three-fifths of your offensive line missing. That could change, that could take away some things that the Chiefs want to do. It's huge. And look at how bad Drew Brees looked. Look at how much impactful the Bucs were. I just feel like you can't overlook it. You absolutely cannot overlook that as a big part of this game. The matchup's going to be Brady and Mahomes, no doubt about it. That's going to be what we talk about. But the Chiefs' offensive line will be the make or break for the Chiefs, whether or not they can win or not. And you got to keep an eye on Kilgore in that situation there, because he's got to pass, I think it's five consecutive days. He has to have negative tests. It's true contact tracing is why he's in the protocol. He doesn't have it, but he has to now clear 5 days before they allow him to play. So that's going to be a huge story going into the game.
And as it often is, the quarterbacks are at the centerpiece of the conversation heading into a Super Bowl. And I know initially, and this is just kind of a prisoner of the moment, oh my goodness, this is the greatest Super Bowl quarterback matchup we've ever seen. Well, there's been some really good ones, Alan. And even, like, I'm 26, and I've gotten to see some fantastic ones. Like, for example, Ben Roethlisberger and Aaron Rodgers, that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, those are just a few. But that you go way back, like Staubach and Bradshaw, and there's just been some fantastic plays out. But I'll ask this to you, because I look at this matchup as the presumed GOAT. Now, depending on the Joe Namath conversation, I heard you guys talking about him this week. I know there's a lot to be said there. But either the one or two best quarterbacks of all time versus maybe the potentially one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Are we making too much out of this quarterback matchup that's in front of us this weekend?
Not at all. It's the reason why we led our show with it. I think what Tony Romo said was very, very interesting how he put this. He called this a legacy game. You're right. We've seen great marquee quarterback matchups before. We've had that in the past. But this now, this is a passing of the torch. And I got, because we've never seen one dynasty hand off to another. Now, of course, it's not Brady and the Patriots. But it's still Brady and the Brady dynasty now. It's no longer the Patriot dynasty because he's back again, and it's 10. 10 is insane. So he's in this game. And I love it. Romo pointed this out, and it's so true. So I looked it up. So when Brady won his first Super Bowl, he was 24 years old. Mahomes won his first Super Bowl last year. He was 24 years old.
Wow.
So your timing now is right there, where if Mahomes, who a lot of people look at and say, this guy could be the next dynasty quarterback. Well, okay, if that's the case, you got to win this one. If you don't, Brady now has seven. And now you've got to not win five more. You've got to win six more just to catch him. And that it, that takes durability. That takes longevity. That's not just skill anymore. Now it's Pat Mahomes. You have to tell, I'm sorry, Patrick. I don't forget to tell
you. His mom will you get on you, to, Alan.
That's right. Yes, I always correct myself. Patrick Mahomes was dad in New York. When he dad pitched for the Mets, he was Pat. When you are 40, 41, 42, guess what? You still have to be playing at a high level. You still have to be playing. So that's something also that will factor in if you give Brady one more. This is like Tiger Woods chasing Jack Nicklaus. You know, this is the same thing. It's can he catch him, and will there be enough time left in his career to do it? So if you give Brady one more, lucky seven, I think it locks it up for Brady, and I don't think Mahomes can catch him. And I think that's just reasonable, considering all the things that have to work out for him. Team has to stay good, but you have to stay healthy. And those are two variables you can never count on.
Alan, I know we're short on time, so we'll get through two more of these real quick. I think a lot has been made with the Tom Brady and Bill Belichick conversation, and we see Tom Brady in another Super Bowl, and people just automatically assume this is the reason the Patriots had the dynasty. And I'm kind of like, whoa, 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 whoa. It's been 1 year. Let's just wait a little bit. Now, Tom has been fantastic, especially down the stretch. They've yet to lose off the bye. Is that conversation done? Is it clearly Brady the winner of the two if he wins a Super Bowl this year?
I think it does. It does take you to that place where it just you feel like, yeah, it was definitely Brady. But here's something to think about. Greg Popovich always said, why did I win? Because of my players. It was always because of the players, right?
Mm-hmm.
How is Greg Popovich doing now after Tim Duncan, after his big three?
No like Manu, Parker, no Tony Parker.
Like, how, you know, Kawhi left, and he left. He wasn't happy there anymore. He was miserable, demanded a trade, wanted out of there. And how have the Spurs been since then? Are they? They're good, not great. They're just good. But they're not great anymore. And so I wonder if Belichick now heads the same way as Greg Popovich. Well, you recognize that he can coach, he knows what he's doing, but he's not easy to play for. And that's where now you wonder, unless he can draft like they got Kawhi, unless they can draft another superstar quarterback, you feel like Matt Stafford reportedly didn't want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere but New England. So I think Belichick and Greg Popovich are two guys that you could sort of put now in the same place. Great coaches, coach great dynasties, but once they lost their key element, which is a player, they became regular coaches. Good coaches, but never really won again. And I feel like that's what tells you it's always going to be the player. When you have a superstar, the superstar is why you win. A coach helps you win, but the superstar is why you win.
Alan, that's a fantastic parallel. Let me top off the interview with this, man. We've had this conversation this morning. NCAA football, according to EA Sports, is making a comeback. Now, it's going to be about 2 to 3 years. Alan, how old are you, man?
I'm 49.
Okay, so you've got 20.
So I remember NCAA football. I actually, believe it or not, one of my first jobs out of college was working for Electronic Arts, which is the parent company of EA Sports.
Okay.
So I was in San Mateo, California. I was there at the headquarters, and I remember being all part of that stuff in the NCAA football game for Sega and Super Nintendo, which all the old heads out there will just nod their head going, man, I'm so good. 16-bit. Those were fun.
Okay. So the reason I ask this is because we've asked, and the majority of our listeners are way older than me. They're about more or your age, about 40, 49, 50-ish. I'd say that's a good ballpark. And whether it's GoldenEye, like James Bond, Mario Kart, there's a variety of different games, like Pong. That was my dad's favorite game. Alan, for your money, as we let you go here, what is your favorite video game of all time?
NHL 94.
Okay.
Played it all night long. NHL 94 was also in one of the great movies of the 90s of all time. Make Gretzky's head bleed. It's just such a fun game. Jeremy Roenick going backdoor with a backhand. every time. That was like Bo Jackson in Tecmo Bowl. Jeremy Roenick backhand goals was just like Bo Jackson in Tecmo Bowl. Unstoppable.
Alan Hahn, ESPN Radio, part of Barton Hahn. You can hear him on ESPN Arkansas, hitthatline.com from 1 to 3 every single weekday. Alan, we really appreciate you making some time for us this morning, man.
You got it. Still a lot of fun. Appreciate you.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time, we're coming for the whole damn thing.
Talking about video games throughout the morning. What was your favorite, or what is your favorite video game of all time?
Well, I loved Duck Hunt when I was a little kid. Obviously, Mario Brothers. But, you know, I'm so glad that they're bringing the college football game back, because I had a great time
in
college. You know, you bring all this stuff, and you actually get to kind of create your own dynasty. And it's phenomenal. You get to go through the recruiting process and everything else. So it was a fun game that, you know, spent hours and hours and hours on trying to build, you know, I guess real life Alabama dynasty, that, you know, on a video game.
Brad, it's a fantastic game. I'm looking forward to it when it comes out in a couple of years. We always appreciate you hopping in with us. Hopefully we'll have a fun Super Bowl to talk about next Wednesday, brother.
All right, sounds good. Go have a good one.
Thanks, so Brett bronzed it up, so we might as well get into it. NCAA football is making a comeback. It's going to be called EA Sports College Football. It's going to be released, looking like, in the next couple of years. We keep getting texts on this, so I'm going to come back to it. What is the best video game that you've ever played? Here's one that we've yet to mention. GoldenEye 007 on the Nintendo 64. Did you play that?
We had a Nintendo 64. I mean, that's a little bit later in life for me compared to where you were at that age. But no, that was not a game. When I think about my favorite games, the ones I played when I was 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, I go back a little further than you on that stuff.
My parents bought us a Wii when I was in either middle school or high school. Do you guys have a Wii?
I got a Wii so I could play the Tiger Woods golf that included
as exercise?
No, it's not exercise. It ruined my golf game, created some real problems in my golf game, but it was probably as close as I'll ever get to teeing it up at Augusta.
Jason in Charleston, South Carolina says NBA Jam. That is a great one back in the day. Did you ever play Bomberman back in the day?
That didn't ring a bell. Bomberman?
Bomberman. Bomberman.
That's got to be big in Mountain Home.
It is a fun game for all you Blue Bombers out there in the Mountain Home area listening. I would highly recommend it. It's a fantastic game, kind of old school, kind of like what we're talking about.
Yeah, I grew up with the first one was an Atari, so we had Pac-Man. Didn't have Miss Pac-Man yet. Frogger, Pong, those games. Then we graduated. It was a big deal when we finally got a Nintendo. We played Mario Brothers. We played Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Legends of Zelda was one of my favorite games.
It's a great game.
As a probably 10, 11, 12-year-old kid.
Super Smash Brothers. Yeah. Jonathan, and I want to make sure I say his town. Jonathan, I apologize. It's not Percy. It's Piercy. Jonathan from Piercy says the original Halo. Now, that's my generation's game.
That's past me.
That's to me, is my favorite video game of all time. NCAA is up there, but Halo, if you get a chance, and don't play the newest version. Play like 2 or 3. The original one's fun as well. That's definitely. CG agrees with you. He says the Nintendo Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. He said he hadn't played it in 25 years, but he still knows the password to go straight to Tyson, apparently.
So. Yeah, those were when you finally you got those shots to the superplexes, and that's how you beat Tyson. You go through all the other guys. It was a big deal when you finally knocked him out.
Now, I know this is a Phil Elson favorite because he told me about it. Brandon in El Dorado says RBI Baseball. Did you play RBI Baseball back in the day?
I may have. That one doesn't stick with me.
Okay, that is a game that
we did have a baseball game on the Nintendo, though.
Okay, that is a game that Mr. Phil Elson has told me about. That is quite fun. This one's from Kenny. Street Fighter. Now, I think that's the one when you go into an arcade or it's like Mortal Kombat-ish to play like... I'm trying to mix like arcade games and video games. Right. It's like a
now, comedy. If I go to an arcade, it was Galaga.
It's my dad's, yeah.
And probably Mrs. Pac-Man was the go-tos. And I got a vent at one of them deals you can buy, 20, 30 bucks now, that you can just hook up to a TV, and the little controller has all the games inside of it. We got one of those somewhere around the house.
Did you ever play Snake?
Yes.
Back in the day?
Yeah.
That's, again, simple like Pong. I downloaded that to my calculator in high school, middle school. So I was able to play games.
And the early cell phones, you could do that, too. That was one of the early cell phones. I mean, when, you know.
Like the Razor, the Motorola Razor.
Pre-flip phone. yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Jamie says River Raid on the Atari. Did you ever play River Raid? That's not familiar to me.
That doesn't ring a bell with me.
Okay. This one comes from Colton in Fayetteville. He says Donkey Kong. Love me some Donkey Kong.
Yep.
Now, that was such a fun. Got a bunch of Tecmo Bowls here this morning. That's definitely one that we talked about. And you said Betty got you a Tecmo Bowl?
It's a little handheld, vintage, old school game where you got to get the little lines going the direction you want.
So. Ryan texts in on our, and he chimes in our YouTube live stream. Again, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch. You can always watch the Morning Rush and Halftime. He says Call of Duty. Now, that's probably something that young Dylan plays, I would guess.
Well, we don't let him play that one, but I mean, because we're more into the safer, less violent stuff like Fortnite,
when he's chopping people down with axes.
Exactly.
I guess I get the human aspect. That's something we had to
keep. He's kind of evolved out of that. And he enjoys something called Roblox, which is kind of a programming / building type deal. I mean, he enjoys that.
But now
these kids got, my kids got headsets with microphones and they're talking to someone in Connecticut or where. I mean, it is a tough deal as a parent now policing all this.
It's not easy. Justin Van Buren, Derek, and Fayetteville both agree that NFL Blitz is up there. I loved NFL Blitz. Did you ever play NFL Blitz?
Yeah, I played NFL Blitz. Justin brings up a good one here. Pole Position on Atari. Pole Position was good on Atari, but it was better in the arcade where you could sit down at the actual wheel. That's still a classic go-to if you're in an arcade now.
I don't know if I played that.
You played Pole Position. It's been around forever. So
okay. What's...
You've played it, you just don't realize it. Yeah.
You like Tetris? Yes,
love Tetris.
Again, a simple game.
Love Tetris.
Very easy, very fun.
Yeah, until you made one mistake and they started stacking up on you couldn't, and the controller wouldn't work, and that damn thing is something wrong with the controller.
You get angry. It's so, and just thinking about it irritates you.
Yeah. Get that little thing that looks like an L to flip over, go down and...
Tony Hawk. Did you ever play Tony Hawk?
It's a little past your
Little past your time, but that's it's quite fun. This Craig brings up what you brought up earlier. Frogger. Frogger's a fantastic game.
That's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. It definitely is up there. This one comes from Jeremy in Fayetteville. Toe Jam and Earl on the Sega Genesis. I'm not familiar with that.
Nope. Need some education on that.
I was going to say to ring a bell.
Sounds like two towns in Arkansas.
Levi.
Toe Jam and Earl.
Levi in Southwest Arkansas says Guitar Hero. Again, a newer game.
Yeah.
It's where you interact and you play.
I'm familiar.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Hayden in Bentonville says Yoshi's Island. Did you ever play Yoshi's Island?
Yeah. Yoshi was one of the characters on Mario Kart, too.
Mm-hmm. So, exactly.
Yeah.
You're Tom Clancy guy. Did you ever read those books or anything?
Nope.
He's had some good video games come out. Yeah. So a lot of good responses this morning. Again, the best video game of all time.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.